Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you are a light that we can turn to when things look dark. I pray, Father, that you would shine the light of Jesus Christ into our hearts, into our homes, into our faith, into our families, and into our community. I pray, Father, that in the light of Jesus Christ, we would walk forward in faith. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, who knew? Who knew when we woke up this week that we would find ourselves living in such an unprecedented time, right? We were going about business as usual. We all had things to do, places to be, only to see things just rapidly changing every single day. Every day there's a new press conference, a new direction from the government, and new images and graphics on the news about our world facing this pandemic and what's going on around us. We were just so busy doing what we had to do, not knowing, right, that lo and behold, this coronavirus was about to show up and change things for all of us. Our problems were different beginning of last week compared to this week. Now the problems we were facing got much more real and much more unavoidable. Now, I don't know if anybody's been to the grocery store lately, but they're crazy town. We were there this week. My daughter has strep throat, so we had to go get her prescription filled, and I was not expecting what I walked into. It was empty shelves and no toilet paper, because apparently that's the thing. I don't know. All of these things gone, and you can't find Clorox and hand sanitizer because people are afraid, right? There's so many things that feel out of our control right now, and when we are afraid, we respond in different ways. And some of us seek to control what we can to mitigate the feelings of what seems out of our control. And while this time right now is unprecedented, this sickness is unprecedented, this pandemic is new, we are a country who has lived through unprecedented times before. We've faced markets crashing and recessions, and we were all there on September 11th, and that was an unprecedented time. We were glued to our TV screens, not really believing the things that we were seeing. And airports started closing down, and public places were evacuated, and fear seeped in because we didn't know what was going to happen or what would come next. Our country has faced great wars. Our country has survived a Great Depression. We've seen other illnesses spread their ugly reach, and we have fought our way through many unprecedented days before. And while the thing we're facing now is new, and in many ways very, very scary, what our country is facing is unprecedented. Facing something unprecedented isn't new. Being able to work our way through things that we don't know what to expect, we've done this before. We've been through wars and famines and diseases that have left indelible marks on the human race. Fear of the unknown is not something we haven't seen before. Confusion and panic, these things aren't new. And while we cannot answer what we do not know, and we can't look into the future and predict what's going to happen next, we can study how do we respond when the times are unprecedented. What do we do when things seem hard and challenging? How do we face this fear instead of being defeated by it? How do we pursue faith even in scary times? And that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to do it by looking at the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is an incredible book. It is, if you like short, compact adventures, that's how the Gospel of Mark is written. You will see, like, immediately this happened, and then immediately they went there. Like, it's this quick pace, awesome insight into Christ's life while he was here on the earth. And he tells us about a time where we find Jesus and his disciples. They've gotten into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's interesting because before they do this, Jesus had actually been in a boat because there were so many crowds that came to hear him, and he was teaching all these different parables, and he stood in a boat, and then he literally hopped from one boat to another boat, and in this boat, they go to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, what's interesting about this area is the Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level. So you've got this really, really low point, but it's also next to mountains that are really, really clearly high because they're mountains. And what happens is this cold air from the mountains would clash with the warm air from the sea. And so the Sea of Galilee was known to get hit by really, really hard storms. So here are Jesus and the disciples making their way across the sea, and a huge storm comes in. The winds are strong. They're knocking the boat around. The waves are huge. They're crashing into the boat. The boat starts taking on water, and try as they might, they're bailing out water. They're bucketing it out the best that they can. The storm is too strong, and the waves are too big. They can't keep up. And it seems like the ship is going to go down. It seems like they are going to drown, and death is coming quickly and rapidly. But Jesus is in the stern of the boat, and Jesus actually is in the back, asleep on a cushion. And the disciples come running to Jesus, and they wake him up, and they're like, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? We're out here ready to die. Don't you even care?" So Jesus calmly wakes up. He goes to the storm, and this is what he says in Mark 4, verse 39. He awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, if you study the language here, it's really, really interesting. Like, it actually has the connotation, like, if you've ever been around, have you ever had to, like, shush a toddler before? Like, shush, quiet, sit, be still, right? Like, that's almost the imagery of Jesus rebuking the storm. He's basically like we would shush and quiet a toddler who's getting out of hand. Jesus does that to a hurricane. Like, he shushes and says to a hurricane, like, "Stop throwing your tantrum. That's enough now. Be still." And the miraculous thing is that it does. The storm calms down, the winds die, and the water's still. And it's that, have you ever looked out at the water and it's like absolutely not a ripple, not a wave? It is crystal clear still. That's what happens to the water. A violent storm immediately stops, and it's calm and it's still. Jesus looks to his disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And then in verse 41 it says, they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Now here's what's really, really interesting. We have to ask questions like, why does Mark share this moment, this history in the life of the disciples with us? Like, of all of the things they experienced, why is this one of the moments that he shares with us in this gospel? And let's be clear, he didn't do it because it makes the disciples look good, right? These guys who went on to become like leaders in the church and did groundbreaking things in their times and challenged authorities of the day, this doesn't make them look good. Because when it was hard, they were scared. Why does Mark share this with us? I believe because even when there are moments of fear and confusion, Christ was with them in the storm. And he wants us to see today that we can trust him even in the storms that we face. And here's why. There's a couple of things that I want us to see. The first one is this. What is terrifying to us isn't to Jesus. I mean, we have to really, like, the context here is so surprising. He's asleep during a storm. Like, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat, like, in the water. A couple years ago, my husband and I rented, like, a small little boat, and we took our girls around the islands. Like, we went from Marblehead to Put-in Bay. Kelly Island is over there, and we are clearly not experienced boaters, and it was choppy, and we had a lovely day, and we tried to find a spot. We brought fishing rods to take the kids fishing, and there was a couple shaky moments because the waves were big, the water was choppy, we're in this little boat, it's knocking us up and down, we're getting splashed by waves. I wasn't calm. Sleep wasn't an option for me. I'm hanging on to the kids like this. I'm saying a couple dear Jesuses, like, "This is a fun day, please keep it fun, please don't let anything bad happen." My one daughter is like, we have pictures, I should have brought one, she's got like pure delight on her face, like she's like this in the pictures. My other daughter is bawling hysterically, hates everything about it, doesn't enjoy it. I was not calm. I wasn't going to sleep, right? And I'm very aware that there are things that I'm afraid of that other people could care less about, right? And I'm also aware that there are things I don't even know to be afraid of, which I'm okay with. I don't need any more to add to my list, that ruin other people. But here's what I find incredibly interesting about this moment. Jesus slept through the storm. He was calm in this moment. And we can't forget that many of Jesus's disciples, they were fishermen. They were experienced men who made their living on the water. And for them to be terrified by a storm, we would be terrified too. These were experienced guys and they were afraid. Water and storms were not new to them, but the intensity of this storm was so great. The crisis was so strong that if something didn't change immediately, they believed that they were going to die. But even in that chaos, Jesus remained calm. He wasn't terrified. He wasn't afraid. All the noise and the fierceness and the chaos and the strength of the winds, they stopped in response to the power of Jesus Christ. Look, they were powerful. The wind, the seas, the water is a dangerous, it's a lovely place, but it's fierce and it's wild and it's powerful. But Jesus is more so. Jesus didn't call on a higher power to stop this storm. Please hear this. Jesus is the higher power that calms the storm. Even in the raging violence and the unmanageable power of the water, the power of Jesus Christ is greater. He was not afraid of the sea. He wasn't afraid of the storm because Christ has the power to calm the storms, to calm the winds, and to stop the waves. And only he has that kind of power. This unimaginable, infinite power over a mighty and destructive sea. And this mighty, wonderful Christ who is not intimidated by the storms, he has a view of history that we can't see. He is not just the Christ of today. He is the Christ of the past and the Christ of the future. And he has an eternal perspective beyond what we can understand. I can see right now. We can see what's right in front of us, and our life context helps shape what we see and what we're looking at and how we feel and what's happening around us. And it can feel scary and it can feel overwhelming, but even in these times, we can remember that we have a powerful Christ who is not intimidated by these unprecedented times. We know a Christ who is not daunted by the storms that we face. He isn't disrupted. His strength is enduring and his power is greater than it all. Friends, we might be at the mercy of the storm, but Jesus Christ is not. When life feels uncertain, we have faith in one who cannot be shaken. When things seem hard, we cling to the one that we believe has more power than any of the things that we face. What might feel intimidating to us doesn't to Jesus Christ, and we can take our fears to him, knowing that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Look at what the disciples question Jesus. This is what they say. Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Now, I think there are so many questions they could have asked Jesus, right? Like, hey, Jesus, could you help? Right? Like, something scary is going on. Maybe you could, like, show up. We need you. Or did you see the storm that is raging around us? Or, hey, Jesus, what should we do? Instead, they say, Jesus, we're dying and you don't care. It feels so extreme, but listen, many of us can relate with that feeling. Scary things are happening, and it feels like we're in the middle of this storm, and this boat might be sinking, and things are wrong, and somehow we're saying, God, are you sleeping through this? God, are you missing what's going on? God, do you see? Are you aware of what's happening? God, do you care that scary things are happening, and we are in the midst of it? Here we are, feeling these tensions and the stress and these worries and the anxieties, and our need is great. And we're saying, Jesus, have you gone to sleep on us right now where we need you? But listen to what Christ says to them. He says, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? It's interesting because the translation here for have you still no faith could even be quoted better. Where did your faith go? At this point, the disciples have spent time with Jesus. They literally just get off the heels of seeing Jesus do incredible, impossible things. They hear Jesus teaching incredible, impossible things. And in this moment of fear and chaos and tension, they didn't consider that Christ was in the boat with them. The Christ they had seen save others, why couldn't he also save them? They forgot that God was among them and had told them, we're going to get to the other side. The first thing he says is, let's get into the boat to cross to the other side. He'd already told them they were going to get there. And when they were afraid in this moment, they forgot what God can do. They forgot what they had already seen Jesus do. And Jesus reminds them, get your faith out. The evidence you have in me, what you know about me, what you've already seen me do, because the spirit that God gave us is not a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of power, love, and self-control. And many times fear shows up and we forget what we know about God. What's in front of us seems so scary and so hard and so impossible and so overwhelming that we forget what we already know to be true about Jesus Christ. We forget the promises that he's made us. We forget what we've already seen him do. But Christ is saying it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be this afraid. You don't have to be overwhelmed when the boat is shaking and the winds are roaring in. We have a resource that empowers us because of the awesome work of Jesus Christ. We don't ever have to forget that we are empowered by a holy and mighty God who has made us capable, who has made us mighty, and our faith is in him and what he has already done. No fear that we face or struggle we are up against is bigger or more powerful than God. And I'm very aware of all of the times that I am not enough. I am very aware of this, but look, I'm also aware that Christ is enough. I'm also aware that Christ said, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And I'm aware that in Christ we have value and strength and love to be who he's called us to be. We diminish fear every single time we speak the truth of Jesus Christ into it. Fear is mean, and it's ugly, and it is a liar, and it's a jerk, and it's going to hit us where we feel most vulnerable. And it's hard to turn the volume down on fear, especially when our fear starts to be beyond ourselves and about the people that we love the most. It's hard to turn down the volume on that kind of fear, and it's easy to forget that we have a resource in Jesus Christ. But Christ is reminding us again and again and again, we do not have to be afraid. If you go through the Bible, if you want something constructive to do this week, just do a little search. Go to BibleGateway.com and type in, do not be afraid. The command not to be afraid shows up over 60 times in the Bible. Why? Why is that in there so many times? And it's a command. It is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, hey, this is a good idea. It is a command. Do not be afraid, because we will be. Because life is messy and hard and there are unprecedented things that happen and we will be afraid. But Christ reminds us we can pull out our faith right now in moments just like him whenever we feel overwhelmed by that fear. I know this is easy to forget, so I want to help us do better. I want to help myself do better, because I promise it is just as easy for me to forget. And here's what I want to do. I want to share some of the incredible promises that God has made to us. When you feel worry overwhelming your heart, when you feel fear creeping in and making it feel like you just need to shut down and quit, I want us to replace these things with promises that we have in God. So I'm going to read through some of these promises. They're in the app section, the notes, if you want to take them home with you. They're going to be up on the screen if you want to write down any of the references. And our ushers have some copies of these to hand out if you'd like to take one home with you. Put it on the refrigerator, put it on the wall, put it on the mirror, put it somewhere that you can look to again and again and again and be reminded of the incredible promises that God has made to us. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. He said, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here's one of my favorites. Listen to what Isaiah says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Joshua reminds us, I have a huge sign. It's like, I don't know, it's big. And it's in my living room, and I look at it, and this is what he said. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I cling to that promise, and I need to look at it again and again and again to be reminded God isn't abandoning us, not even in days like today. In Psalms, we're reminded, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then I want us not to forget these promises. Look what he says in Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things? These are promises that we get to cling to. These are words that I can't just say, hey, brain, stop being afraid, right? Hey, brain, stop worrying. You know what? Then I worry more. But I can replace the language that I say to myself. I can replace the language that I use with my kids. I can put these promises up and say, you know what? I do feel afraid. But I also remember God promised us this. Fear is a reality that we face, but it is not the only reality, because we also have the truth and reality of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, and into moments of fear and chaos, now is the time we hear Jesus saying, get your faith out, shake it out, dust it off, remind yourself of what you know to be true about God and depend on him. Because listen, into the violence of the storm, Jesus Christ speaks peace. Into the destruction of the waves, Christ commands, be still. And if there is one thing we know to be true about Jesus Christ is a champion of peace. And it's not the peace that's just the absence of bad or a break from what's happening around us. It's this idea of shalom, and it means wholeness and completeness. It means gaps are being filled in that are full and joyful. It's at its heart, everything wrong being made right. And right now, we see all the things that are wrong, and we don't feel peace when we see them. But Christ speaks peace into moments just like this, when things are scary and the boat is rocking and it feels like we are going to be overwhelmed imminently, when watching the news is hard because you don't know what's going to come next, when you are afraid for the people you love, when you are afraid for what the future holds, when things don't seem right, Christ speaks peace. And just as he shushed a violent hurricane 2,000 years ago, he is speaking peace to us today. If there's one thing we know to expect about life with certainty is we will face storms. There will be hard moments. The winds are going to blow and the waves are going to try to knock us down. Life itself has a way of wearing us down. We'll face hard moments. We'll have to make hard, tough choices. There will be unprecedented times that we will never have guessed that would be the thing our generation found itself working its way through. But even in these moments, Christ stands with us. And as he stands with us, if we will allow him to, he will speak his peace into our hearts. And let's be honest, our world needs peace right now, doesn't it? There is a lot of fear and chaos and panic, and our peace from Jesus Christ directs us in the way that we should go. The peace of Christ fills our hearts where fear and anxiety are competing and fighting to take the lead. Peace opens our heart to see just beyond what is wrong and hard and scary, to see what can Christ do in the midst of it. There are many things that feel beyond our control right now, things that we can't make decisions on and can only respond to, but we can lean into the things that we do have control over. Here's what we control. We can absolutely control filling our hearts with the peace of Jesus Christ. Here's what this looks like. You know why I say this? Because I promise I need it as much as everybody else. Sometimes we just need to take a break from the news. I know there are hourly updates. I know there's a lot going on. But sometimes for the well-being of our souls, we need to take a break. We need to turn it off. We need to turn off social media. We need to stop following every website link and every post that is shared and every graphic and looking into it. And we just need to turn it off and spend some time remembering who Christ is and what he can do. We need to fill our hearts with him. And you know what? There's joy to be found even in these moments if we are willing to look for it. It is good for us to sometimes silence the noise and spend time looking for the joy of Jesus Christ in moments just like today. Remember our practice of gratitude. Every day, start with, what am I grateful for today? Write down three things right now that I can say I'm grateful for. And it might be as silly as having toilet paper in your house, right? Thank God. It might be something about having the delicious food, or it might be something that you saw and it just stirred joy and gratefulness in your heart. Fill your hearts with the peace of Jesus Christ, which means to do that, sometimes we have to say no and shut it off and silence it so that we can turn to Christ instead. If you study history and you look at the early church, what you will see is epic sickness, just ravaging communities, and where people had no thought for the dignity of human life, the church stepped in, and they loved people who were sick with dignity and care and the love of Jesus Christ. We believe in the dignity and the value of the human soul, and we are, as followers of Jesus Christ, called to be the ones who show up and help. You know, panic is very contagious, but so is peace. And we can make the peace of Jesus Christ resonate in our hearts so it becomes the thing that we share with everybody around us. We can do the work of spreading peace with others. We can be lights in the darkness, and we can be helpers in the midst of the storm. There are others who will be afraid. Let us be the voice of hope and love right now. There are others who will feel overwhelmed with anxiety. Let the peace of Jesus Christ lead us to be voices of reason and calm and patience and kindness. When others lead with anger, we will lead with peace. When others seek to do harm, we will be the ones who pursue good with all that we can. And it starts with us opening our eyes and looking around us. Who needs help? Who can we check in on that needs a call to say, hey, do you have everything that you need? Those of us who are well prepared enough and stocked up on the right things, who do we need to share with others that didn't get the opportunity to do that? Who knew we need to look around in our communities, in our neighborhoods and just say, hey, do you have everything you need? Can I do anything for you? Someone who needs a call or who needs extra food or whose job and income are being disrupted by choices that are beyond their control. Where can we help and where can we do what we can? As a church, it is our job to help. And we are going to work very, very hard this week to stay open to say, what can we do to help our communities and spread the peace of Jesus Christ? As Christ stands with us, we make the commitment to stand with others. And so I'm asking for two things. One, you have contacts and you have reaches, check in on them. Whether it's family or friends or neighborhood communities or people that you know that just might need a call, hey, we're thinking about you, do you need anything? But then also, if you could just keep your lines of communication open to us, we're going to be communicating everything that we can to stay on top of things as they're changing, but also what we're finding out where the need is, that's where we're going. And sometimes we don't know until we know. And so if you will stay open, we're going to be communicating through our app, through our website, through emails. If you don't have these modes of communication yet, download them, connect with them. We've got connection cards in front of you, jot down your email, make sure that we have it. We're going to do our best to stay in touch with you. So as we know where the needs are, we're going to move toward it and we're going to mobilize as many of us as we can to go to the front lines and say, where there is a need, we promise to show up. Where people are afraid, we want to bring the peace of Jesus Christ and say, we stand with you. Our community needs men and women just like us, willing to stand with them through the dark, through the chaos, and through the fear. So you'll be hearing from us, and we'll be moving in that direction together. I want to close this with this. Some years ago, I read an incredible biography about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I don't know if you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, but he was a man very, very familiar with fear. He lived in a country gripped by fear. He was a German pastor when Hitler and the Nazi regime were in power. And where other pastors folded and stood with Hitler, Bonhoeffer would not. And he actively spoke out against the evil of the Nazi regime, and he believed it was the role of the church to speak for those who could not speak for themselves. And he ended up giving his life in the fight to stop evil. He was arrested and he was thrown into a concentration camp where he lost his life. But before that, he preached an incredible sermon on overcoming fear. And listen to what he said. He said, "Fear takes away a person's humanity. This is not what the creature made by God looks like. But the human being does not have to be afraid. We should not be afraid. That is what makes humans different from all other creatures. In the midst of every situation where there is no way out, where nothing is clear, where it's our fault, we know that there is hope, and this hope is called, Thy will be done. Yes, Thy will is being done." He said, "We name the one who overcame fear and led it captive in the victory procession, who nailed it to the cross and committed it to oblivion. We name the one who is the shout of victory of humankind, redeemed from the fear of death, Jesus Christ, the crucified and living one. He alone is Lord over fear. It knows him as its master. It gives way to him alone. So look to Jesus Christ when you are afraid. Think of Christ. Keep him before your eyes. Call upon Christ and pray to him. Believe that he is with you now, helping you. Then fear will grow pale and fade away, and you will be free through your faith in our strong and living Savior, Jesus Christ." Friends, the hardest storm that ever needed to be faced, Jesus Christ has already conquered it. He overcame fear and death and nailed it to the cross. In him we hope. In him, we find our way forward, and we remember the hardest work that's ever been done in the name of humanity. Jesus Christ did it on our behalf when he went to the cross and gave his life that you and I might live. We absolutely have the ability to overcome fear because we look to Jesus Christ and what he did on our behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please open our hearts to you. I pray, Father, where fear and worry and anxiety have been squeezing the breath out of us, that you would fill our hearts with a refreshing hope in Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would blow the wind of peace into our lives, that we would cling to the promises that you've made in Jesus Christ, and that we would not be overcome by fear, but we would overcome fear with the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we claim your promises to be true. We cling to you in times just like this, and pray that you would shine your light into our hearts and show us the way to go. Father, I pray for myself. I pray for every heart here and every heart at home, that you would help us to stand up and declare the name of Jesus Christ, that in him we trust, in him we hope, in him nothing is too hard to do. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.